Thanks for listening to the best of the Ben Maller Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weeknight from 2 to 6 Eastern, 11 p.m. to 3 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And to find your local station for the Ben Maller Show at foxsportsradio.com, you can find it there. Or stream us live every night on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
This is the best of the Ben Maller Show on Fox Sports Radio.
It is a brave new world. Order? What? Welcome in the beginning of a new week of the Ben Maller Show. We are together in the air everywhere as we are your sports cohorts, coast to coast, border to border, and beyond, on the vast and extremely powerful Do Not Touch microphones of FSR emanating live from the flight deck as we soar on the red eye all night long, the Fox Sports Radio's studios at a secret location deep in the Northwoods. So our lead this hour coming from baseball, not football, baseball. I know, how it's blasphemy. How dare you? We start this night differently than most nights. The rare and appropriate MLB postseason monologue. We'll have plenty of time to dive in to the National Football League, but we begin with baseball, the National League Championship Series, game number 2 on a Sunday night, head-to-head. Now, if it had been a good Sunday night football game, I would have began with that. But yeah, backup quarterback for the Seahawks, the Steelers, with their washed-up Ben Roethlisberger. Not a lot of juice in that game. There was some juice in the National League Championship Series. So if you didn't watch Game 2, Braves hosting the Dodgers, maybe not. We watched for you. So the Dodgers had a lead, had a couple of leads in this game. And in the end, the Braves get the walk-off hit, second night in a row. Eddie Rosario, wake up the echoes. He lined a two-out single. He's an ex-twin, so he's not well-known. But he lined a two-out single off shortstop Corey Seager's glove. You got to make that play. That's a bad job by Seager. And that gave Atlanta the win, a 5-4 victory over the Dodgers. Dodgers blew a 4-2 lead in the eighth inning, and they lose it. And so Atlanta now up 2-0. In order for them to blow this, they'd have to lose 4 of the next 5 games to the Dodgers, and the series does shift back to Southern California. A travel day. The team's traveling by stagecoach, so they'll be in Southern California by Tuesday for game number 3. So let us discuss the question. How much trouble are the Dodgers in against the Braves in the NLCS? So it's time now to dust off an old friend, the Maller Scale of Panic. Maller Scale of Panic, 1 to 10, with 10 being a text message that says, nuclear warheads inbound. Inbound. So on the Maller Scale of Panic, I am at a 6.5. 6.5 for the Dodgers, which is not very high. That's not very high considering that they've lost the first 2 games in dramatic fashion. So my thoughts, you've got Axiom, Kerosene, and Broadway Play. And we'll tie all of these things together, and we're going to make some poutine, which is the number one gift the world's gotten from Canada. Now, the Braves, listen, take a couple steps back. They took care of business at home. They're the heavy underdog in this series. They drew first blood. But it's not like the Atlanta Braves have manhandled the Dodgers, where you look at these games and say, wow, the Dodgers have no chance. Atlanta's clearly the better team. No, these games have been nail-biters. Atlanta needing the walk-off hit in both games to get the victory. It's the agony and the ecstasy of postseason baseball circa 2021. And remember the old adage, the old axiom in sports, the old sports axiom, that no playoff series truly begins until the road team wins a game. So all the Braves have done is held serve. That's it. Now, it is true. At some point, the Dodgers are going to have to win. The math on this works out. They're going to have to win in Atlanta to win the series. But they didn't have to win the first game. They didn't have to win the second game. And certainly they're heading in the wrong direction, but things haven't gotten critical yet. And the fact that the Dodger pitching staff has made Eddie Rosario look like a mix of Chipper Jones and Eddie Matthews seemingly is impossible, but it's happened. I've seen it. Now, part B of this, an old nemesis has returned for the Dodgers, Dave Roberts. He's got some explaining to do, the standard paralysis by analysis.
I liked him in that spot. I really did.
Yes, the pitching rotation, a jumbled mess. Burn, baby, burn. Dave Roberts, he loves to bring in a lot of pitchers. Why? Because the analytics tell you that's the way to go. God forbid anybody goes third time through the lineup. You can't even do that. No. Bring in different arms, and sure. The problem, everyone has to be perfect in that situation. And the more pitchers you bring in, the more opportunities you have for somebody to have a bad day. And if you have a bad day in the playoffs, you don't normally overcome that when your pitcher pukes it up on the mound. They started a bullpen game in the opener. Now, they got away with it against the Giants. They got away with it. The Giants imploded in that game. They blew it, and the Braves did not here. But the Braves win game one, the bullpen game. They gave Max Scherzer seemingly more time, wanted Max to be as fresh as he could possibly be. And then they give the ball to Scherzer, and they take him out of the game. 79 pitches. They take Scherzer out of the game. And I'm watching this, and I'm like, what are they doing? What's the point of the bullpen game? He could have gone 79 pitches in the game in game one, 4 1/3 innings, and Scherzer's out of the game. Not enough bullets used. Now, after the game, Max Scherzer claimed that he was suffering from a dead arm. Great, wonderful. So are we supposed to sit shiva for the arm of Max Scherzer? I don't know. Listen, Scherzer claims his arm was just tired, and he doesn't think it'll be a problem going forward. But it's already a problem. All right, it's already a problem. You blew a game that was when Scherzer pitches, you win that game. You win that game 9 out of 10 times. They lost this game. And what happened to grinding it out? Right? I just roll my eyes at this. Tired arm. You hear that in spring training? You hear that in August? Now we hear this in the postseason. So clip and save that. Now Dave Roberts then poured kerosene over the smoldering embers as he attempted to juggle the pitching staff, something he seemingly loves to do. He compounded one problem with another by going into the well and bringing in Julio. Down by the schoolyard, Urias comes in out of the bullpen in the eighth inning. Now, the Dodgers had a 4-2 lead. You got a 2-run lead. You're 6 outs away from evening up the series at 1-1. You go to Urias in that situation. Now, Roberts claims that despite the fact that Dodgers lost the game, he blew the lead, Urias on the mound, that he will be good to go for game 4 back in L.A. And that's great. That's great. But you know, and I know, and that lamppost over there knows that even though he didn't pitch all that much in this game, he's not going to be long for game. You're not going to see anyone. I would be shocked if anyone the Dodgers have goes more than 5 1/3 or something like that. Even the great Walker Buehler, who's going to start the upcoming game here for the Dodgers. But Urias, he needed only 14 pitches to blow a 4-2 lead. Get the dumb hat on there, because you wear the dunce cap with Corey Seager, who also gets to wear it for that play. You get the glove on the ball. Glove on ball, got to make the play. Glove on ball, got to make the play. And that's a big league player in that situation makes that play. A good big league player makes that play. Seager blew it. And it bounced off and goes out in the outfield. The Braves win the game, and Eddie Rosario is the hero, and everyone goes crazy and all that good stuff, and they do the tomahawk chop, and they have a wonderful time. My God. All right, last word here. So, despite all of that, despite Dave Roberts butchering the bullpen, Corey Seager, butterfingers out there in the field, all of that, I am still Benny Brightside on this one. And it's like the Broadway play Annie. The sun will come out tomorrow, right? Bet your bottom dollar that tomorrow there'll be sun. Now, why is the glass half full? I'm glad you asked. Let me make my elevator pitch. I've seen this before. The Blue Crew, we know they're the better team in talent-wise. Now, that's not a guarantee of anything. Baseball is a sport that does not guarantee that the more talented team wins. In basketball, the more talented team wins 99.9% of the time. The exception would be because of injury. The Dodgers are healthy favorites in this. Last season, against Atlanta in a neutral site environment, they rallied from a 3-1 deficit to beat the Bravos. But remember, the neutral site, the crowd does not really play a factor in baseball games. It just doesn't. But the big advantage you have, which is a fundamental advantage when you're the home team, is you get the final at bat. And that was the same last season as it is now. The Braves are at home, they get the final at bat. And that's the key thing that to remember in all this. Now, we'll see if the Dodgers can do it again, but they've certainly been there and done that. Now, the Dodgers had leads in each of the first two games and blew the leads. And they have yet to get any clutch hitting, and yet they've been in position to win the first two games of the National League Championship Series. The Dodgers, they're so bad, they look like the Giants with runners in scoring position. They've had 18 at-bats with runners in scoring position, 2 of 18. That's a 111 batting average.
Garbage.
Trey Turner. My guy, what happened to him? Mookie Betts. Those guys combined are 3 for 16. The engine starters near the top of the Dodger lineup there, Trey Turner, Mookie Betts combined 3 for 16, 188 in the National League Championship Series. And Walker Buehler. In Walker, the Dodgers trust, a much better pitcher at Dodger Stadium. And he has yet to touch the baseball in this series. Keep in mind, also, the Dodgers, they are up 2-0 or down 2-0. And the Atlanta Braves, they have gotten nothing out of Freddie Freeman. Freddie Freeman has had 8 at-bats and has had 7 strikeouts. He's 0 for 8 for Atlanta in the National League Championship Series. So that's where we stand right now. The Braves with a 2-0 advantage. Here is Dave Roberts on the decision to go to the bullpen and to bring in the guy that was supposed to, and I guess is still scheduled to start in game 4, Julio down by the bullpen.
We talked about it before the series, and he was available last night if it came to the situation. It didn't. He hadn't thrown a bullpen, and he was the best option at that point in time.
Yeah. Well, he clearly wasn't the best option because he blew the game. If he was the best option, he would have gotten out of that without blowing the game. All right, man, here's more.
I liked him in that spot. I really did.
You're really pressing my nerves here. Here's more from Dave Roberts. And, oh, this is great. Dave asked if the Dodgers are just burned up because of what happened against the Giants.
I don't. I think, obviously, they've had two big innings to take the lead, and the series could be flip, or our guys are prepared to play through October. So it was a great series, but I don't think that there's any kind of effects from that past series. I don't.
Yes. All right. So Dodgers and Braves, they have a travel day. Put me in. I can make that play. I get my glove down, and I think I can make the throw.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Ben Maller Show weekdays at 2 a.m. Eastern, 11 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Flapping the wings, flapping the wings. Welcome in the beginning of another hour of the Ben Maller Show. We are together in the air everywhere as we teleport via our audio passport, coast to coast, border to border, and beyond on the vast and mighty powerful microphones of FSR emanating live from behind the wheel, driving in the fast lane, a Fox Sports Radio studios at a secret location deep in the North Woods. And so our lead this hour coming from the National Football League, the card on Sunday, an AFC matchup, a battleground in Baltimore. A matchup, a couple of middleweight contenders. They say they're actually heavyweight contenders. The Ravens playing host to the Chargers, teams that fancy themselves legitimate threats to reach the Super Bowl. And a couple of the young and up-and-coming quarterbacks in the NFL, Lamar Jackson would say he's already arrived. He's won an MVP award. Lamar Jackson versus Justin Herbert. That's the matchup. Made for television. Did you watch? Maybe not. Maybe you didn't watch. And if you didn't watch, you didn't miss anything. A stable of running backs, many of them that used to be good but haven't been good in a while. The running back rejects ran for 187 yards in unison with Lamar Jackson and three touchdowns. Baltimore in cruise control, a 34-6 beatdown of the Bolts in Baltimore. So let us discuss the question. Does this game, a route or route, depending on where you're from, does this game say more about the Ravens' dominance or the Chargers' incompetence? And so I am looking the direction of the Bolts on this one. Now, my observations, you've got neutron bomb, alibi, and mouthwash. And we will lock all of these things together in this Maller monologue, which will dazzle you, blow you away. Unless it doesn't. All right, so number one. The better story is in the losing locker room. The Chargers feeling good about themselves heading into this game. They had wins at Kansas City at home against Cleveland, the game I was at. And this game, though, against the Ravens was what? It was a measuring stick game, a placement test, battle of first place teams. The Chargers are going to have to replay that game. They're going to have to retake the exam here. They did not pass the test as they ended up running into a neutron bomb in Baltimore. Lamar Jackson, who wasn't even good, he has been much better this year. This was not a number one Lamar Jackson, and yet the Ravens still win in a laugh. Lamar only had 167 yards passing, average. Barely over 6 yards per pass attempt. Was sacked three times. Had a couple of interceptions. That's not good. He had 51 yards on the ground, which is also by Lamar Jackson standards. He's like, well, that is containing Lamar Jackson. And with those kind of numbers, if I said before the game, those will be the stats for Lamar Jackson, you would say, okay, how many points did the Chargers win by? You would blindly take that. Right? You would assume, at the very least, that the Chargers would have an opportunity to win that game. You would assume wrong. Baltimore was up 17-0 before the Chargers got their lone score of the game, and as the Chargers have been known to do, they missed the extra point. So L.A. Was shut out in the second half. The Ravens, who going into this game, you're like, okay, what's going to happen here? You think it'd be a close game? A lot of people were all jonesed up about the Chargers. But the Ravens taking advantage of the NFL's worst run defense. It was a running fiesta for Baltimore. 187 yards on the ground. That bears repeating. And it was, as we said, all rejects. It was all people nobody else wanted in the NFL. Le'Veon Bell. Le'Veon Bell, who's bounced around, sucked with the Jets, did nothing of note with Kansas City, and he's hanging out there. Devontae Freeman, he's bounced around the NFL. Latavius Murray, another. These are vagabond running backs, and collectively, and granted, it was mostly Devontae Freeman and Latavius Murray, but collectively, they carried the weight, and all three of them got in the end zone. I mean, that, just to prove that the Charger defense is as bad as their numbers indicate they are, when these guys, the guys that were on the outside looking in when the season began, right, and a week before the season, they didn't have jobs, and now you're like, whoa, wait a minute. Right, secondly, so the Chargers, that's the story, the losing locker room. They malfunctioned on both sides of the ball. Not only did they not stop the run, which they haven't done all year, Justin Herbert, who has been the toast of the NFL, the darling. Oh, he's so good. Oh, my. Well, not in this game. Talking heads, you watch these pregame shows, when they bring up the Chargers, they are slobber, slobber, slobber. It's the Manny and the Petty. Manny and the Petty for Justin Herbert. And here he was going against the, you know where the Ravens' pass defense ranked coming into this game? 28th in the NFL. They're only 32 teams. The Ravens were 28th at stopping the pass. So you would assume the position going in, based on past results, that the Chargers would be able to matriculate the ball down the field against the Ravens' pass defense. Even if they couldn't stop the Ravens on the ground, which they clearly couldn't, they'd still be able to move the ball. Well, The results are in, and Justin Herbert had just 195 passing yards, 81 yards passing in the second half. He couldn't even fatten the stat sheet up in the second half when typically in a blowout, and the game was lopsided at halftime, you get some garbage time numbers, and you're the stat bandit in the second half. He couldn't even be the stat bandit. He averaged a measly 5 yards per pass attempt. That's horrific. I mean, these are not the numbers that you would expect of a budding star in the NFL, especially considering Baltimore's pass defense and how bad it is. Now, as always, the quarterback defenders league, no matter who the quarterback is, there's always the toadies in the media that have an alibi. Now, when the quarterback plays well, it's all the quarterback. When the quarterback doesn't play well, it's point fingers over here, over there, in the back, everywhere, right? They always have an alibi. Got to have a scapegoat. And the Chargers and really the NFL media that have pumped up Justin Herbert, blaming the receivers, right? Bad hands by the receivers. A lot of drop passes there. I've also heard the early start time that the Chargers going from the West Coast, the Pacific time zone, to the East Coast, the early 10 a.m. body clock game, that messed up the mojo of the Chargers. Of course, this is only something that is brought up when a team loses. For example, the Rams traveled from the West Coast to the East Coast. Granted, they played a bad Giants team and completely punched them in the gut, the Rams did. So I guess the time zone thing didn't work as a negative in that case. But Baltimore, all right, this is the same Raven team that needed a rabbit out of the hat to beat the Lions. All right, they needed that 66-yard field goal to win that game in Detroit. Ravens had won the first four games they had won this year by an average of barely 6 points per game. And yet, going to the fourth quarter of this game against the Chargers, the Ravens had a 4-touchdown lead. This is completely out of left field. All right, final point. Now, for Lamar Jackson in Baltimore, this game, what I call it is a mouthwash special. Why do I call it a mouthwash special? I'm glad you asked. Because this helps them further get that rotten taste out of their mouth from way back at the beginning of the season when they went out against then John Gruden, persona non grata anymore, but John Gruden of the Raiders. And it was Vegas, baby, that got the win. But ever since then, Baltimore, with some help by the compliant Ravens running back fumbling the ball away, they're the Chiefs running back against the Ravens. Baltimore now, they have, at this moment, the best record in the American Football Conference. They're 5-1, pending the outcome of Tennessee, and here we go, Buffalo, in the Monday night game. And this is the largest win, I read this earlier, largest win for the Ravens against an opponent with an 800 or better winning percentage, although it's still relatively early in the season. But the Ravens enjoying the heck out of this, and it's upward and onward now for Lamar Jackson. A big AFC divisional matchup for the Ravens in the AFC North against the Bengals. Are you kidding me? Well, that's the next game for Baltimore next week in Maryland. Then they have the bye after that. So the Ravens have one more game, then they get the bye week, and they still have all of their divisional games. They've yet to play a divisional game 5-1 outside of the division, and they got the Bengals and the Browns and the Steelers and all that lined up here on the docket. On the schedule. All right, let's go to the Chargers locker room. That's where the story is here. Brandon Staley, the old Ram defensive coordinator, who's now the head coach of the crosstown Chargers. And here is the coach of the Chargers commenting on his quarterback and his lack of execution by Justin Herbert.
In a game like that, where it gets away from you a little bit, I think you can tell a lot about your quarterback. I thought he was strong with the ball. I thought he took care of it. And, you know, I thought he hung tough. We need to do a better job playing around him. Justin, I thought, hung tough and gave us a chance.
Gave you a chance? You were down 17-0. Would you stop? All right, here's more from Brandon Staley, the coach of the Chargers, and taking the temperature in the locker room as the Chargers head into a little vacation, a little week off here during the season, the bye.
I think we lost to a really good team today. I think that is a perennial division champion, a perennial playoff team. They've been to the playoffs 13 out of 14 years with John as the head coach. They've won a Super Bowl. This is a championship caliber team. They have an MVP quarterback. They outplayed us and outcoached us today. But I know that we've played six really good teams. We're 4-2. We've beat four really good teams, and we've lost to two really good teams. And that's what I told the team. I think that's where the truth is. And I think where we need to go is we need to learn from this game. The bye's coming at a good time for us. Get rested up and then come back and be ready to go against a really good New England team.
Yeah. Spin from the Chargers coach. Now, Justin Herbert, the quarterback of the Chargers, pointing out that the Charger offense did not look very good.
We didn't execute the way we wanted to. We didn't move the ball. We didn't convert on third down. I had that one turnover. You can't expect to turn the ball over, not move the ball like that, and expect to win.
Okay, thank you. That's right out of sportscliche.com. If you can go to sportscliche.com, I am a contributor to that. The Chargers, 208 yards of offense. 208 yards of offense against a Ravens defense, which had not been good at all against the pass. And so the Ravens, 5-1, the Chargers at 4-2.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Ben Maller Show weekdays at 2 a.m. Eastern, 11 p.m. Pacific.
Hey, I'm Doug Gottlieb. The podcast is called All Ball. We usually talk all basketball all the time, but it's more about the stories about what made these people love their sport and all the interesting interactions along the way. We talk to coaches. We talk to players. We tell you stories. You download it. You listen to it. I think you'll like it. Listen to All Ball with Doug Gottlieb on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's Maller.
How about that?
To the third degree. This is when Big Ben gets grilled.
All right, third degree brought to you by this portion of the show, Discover Card. We believe a better tomorrow is possible for everyone. Discover something brighter, Koopaloop.
So Alex Rodriguez took a shot at analytics people on Twitter Saturday, saying, "For all the analytics people that work in MLB, please stop saying that there's no such thing as hot or cold. Kike is hot, just like a Rosarena last year." Now, Ben, you're normally against the analytics people.
Yes, I am. Yes.
But you also don't believe in momentum. Isn't being hot essentially the same thing?
I push back against every narrative out there, Koopaloop, but A-Rod's a dope. Momentum and hot are the same thing. You're correct. And these are narrative fallacies in sports. They are myths. They do not exist. Kike Hernandez playing very well for the Red Sox. Good for him. He's had a lot of positive energy, but that doesn't guarantee success. It doesn't guarantee failure if you've sucked for a long time. It's like buying a stock. Right? A stock that has gone up in value and a company that is performing well. That doesn't guarantee, as they say on Wall Street, doesn't guarantee anything. Past results do not guarantee future outcomes. Either way, each at bat is its own entity. Next!
So after the Dodgers eliminated the Giants, Mookie Betts was asked if the Dodgers-Giants rivalry is on par with the Red Sox-Yankees rivalry. He was hesitant to answer, kind of, you know, hemming and hawing, and Max Scherzer kind of pressured him to say what he was thinking, which is no. Ben, do you agree, or are they not up to par with that rivalry?
Well, number one, Mookie Betts has a 12-year contract. He doesn't have to be diplomatic about anything, right? Mookie, one of the reasons he is out of Boston, he didn't want to play there anymore. If he wanted to play with the Red Sox, he'd still be with the Red Sox. He didn't want to be part of that East Coast baseball thing, and he's with the Dodgers longer than anyone else is going to be on the Dodgers. So, listen, the Dodger-Giant rivalry, there's about 1% of the fan base where they'll fight to the death in the parking lot. The rest of it, you know, it's mostly laid back. Overall, Mookie, I think he got it right, right? East Coast people are just different than West Coast people, and you can blame it on the weather or whatever you want to blame it on, but it is different. It is, you know, it's a rivalry. They don't like each other, but it's not to the same degree. Next!
There was a report over the weekend that the Yankees plan to go hard after Corey Seager in the offseason.
Good.
Ben, do you think Seager will be a Yankee next year?
Well, if he keeps making plays like he did, where the ball bounced off his glove to cost the Dodgers a playoff game, let him go play in the Bronx. The Yankees need help. they got to sign somebody. They haven't made the World Series and won the World Series in a very long time by Yankee standards. And if they're going to get past Tampa and Boston in the American League East, they got to spend some money. They can't sign Carlos Correa because he's a cheating Astro. So it's either Corey Seager or Trevor Story, one of those two guys. And Seager, he's not a vocal guy. He wouldn't play well in the tabloids in New York. And he can bounce around a few different positions if they want to do that. And I'm fine with him leaving. He's been a good player for the Dodgers. It certainly helped them win the World Series last year. But it's not going to break my heart if Corey Seager goes and plays for the Yankees. There it is, Coop. How did we do?
Pass this edition.
That's a winner! Whee!
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
Hey, you sports figure guy or girl.
Who the hell are you talking to, son?
Here's some instant advice.
Hold that thought. No one's paid attention to me for 10 whole seconds.
And if you don't like it, screw you.
And away we go. It's the Insta Advice Line, unscreened radio. The safety net is off. The wisdom. Wow. The knowledge of the unwashed, the hoi polloi, giving back to those important people in sports. Who's got the gumption to call up and give us the knowledge, the sage advice of years of listening to sports talk radio? Who needs our advice this week? Now, we could go to the NFL, teams that have fallen on hard times, but instead, it's the postseason, October baseball, and the Dodgers, the champions of the series with the Giants there, and the favorite to win the World Series, are down 0-2, oh my God, to the Atlanta Braves, as the Bravos have gotten off to the good start. So what is your advice to Dave Roberts and, more importantly, the Dodger players on how to overcome the 0-2 deficit? Roberto would also like some hitting advice with runners in scoring position. The Dodgers just 2-for-18 to begin the NLCS, and they've blown leads in the first two games.
I liked him in that spot. I really did.
Bullpen's taking a ride on the vomit comet. 877-99 on Fox. When you hear my voice, you're on the air. We'll start out with you on line one. Hello, line one. Advice to Dave Roberts and the Dodgers.
Get a shortstop who's got a nutsack to get in front of a baseball.
All right, thank you for that. Let's go to line two. That was Angry Bill. Line two, you are next, line two. Welcome.
Don't worry, Ben Maller just make up an excuse.
Oh, look at that. Chris in Houston. No excuses. Go cheat. Bang some trash cans, though. Help the Astros out. Line three, you're next. Hello, line three.
Whip into the Dixter and just throw the ball in the air everywhere.
Yeah. No. The Dixter told us before the baseball season, if the Cleveland Indians hit, pitch, and play defense, they'd have a good year. Didn't he say that, Roberto? Wasn't that somebody to that
correct.
Effect, right? Yeah. All right. Good baseball analysis from the Dixter. Let's go to line four. Hello, line four.
I'm Bucky Cabo, and I'm teaming up with Alf the Alien Opiner for the next Squid Game.
Yeah, he's back. He's back. Our fan favorite is returned. Woo! All right. Line five, I think, is next. Hello, line five.
That is Colombianos, Roberto, Dodgers suck!
You're yelling, sir. You're overmodulated. Your call sucked. Sorry to be the bearer of bad news. Line six is next. Hello, line six.
David Gagan.
Yeah, there you go. Line
David
one.
Gagan.
We've run the board. Ooh. Line one is next. We're giving advice to Dave Roberts and the Dodgers. Unscreened radio. We call it the Instant Advice Line. Hello, line one.
Yeah, do you reckon Doc migrate straight from the Venus app?
I don't know what Doc did with Regina.
Shirley?
Although we haven't heard from Regina since that happened. Line two, I hope she's all right. Line two, hello.
Don't worry. Been making excuse.
Oh, you're still Chris again.
Man, this time from the bathroom.
Yes, Chris. So wipe your tuchus and flush. Line three, hello, line three. You're on the air. I couldn't understand that. You're a mashugana. Hello, line four. Line four. Let's jump over to line four. We're cleansing the lines here. Hello, line four.
If the Dodgers blow it, tell them to get the bags ready, just like with the Steelers.
There you go. Sean the Hood Guy, check it in. Giving us the inside skinny. Line five. Hello, line five.
So good. So good. So good.
Okay, thank you. That call was so bad, so bad, so bad. Line six. Hello, line six.
Play like a little leaguer, lose like a little leaguer, cry like a little leaguer.
There you go. Well, they are playing like little leaguers right now. I can't disagree with that analysis. Go! Line one, you're on the air. Hello, line one.
Number one.
Come on, man. Practice, man.
Not a game. We're talking about practice, not a game. The random line, you're next. Hello, random line. Random line's not there. One more call, Coop. One more call. Hurry up. If it's good, I'll take credit. If not, I'm blaming you.
Line five.
Line five. You're on the air, line five. No! No, you're not, line five.